Welcome to the His Way Out Ministries broadcast with Pastor Philip Lee. A friend says to you, once gay, always gay. How do you respond? My child just told me he's gay. What can I do? What causes same-sex attraction? Can a Christian be gay? If I disagree with homosexual practice, am I intolerant and homophobic? Is change possible for the homosexual? How should the church be responding? His Way Out Ministries is dedicated to raising awareness, educating, encouraging, and equipping the body of Christ to minister to men, women, and their families with the unwanted brokenness of same-sex attraction. We believe restoration is possible and available through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and the healing power of the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is calling His church to meet the need of the hour. The question is, will we be prepared? And now, here's Pastor Philip Lee.
Good morning, and welcome once again to another broadcast of His Way Out Ministries. I'm very glad that you could tune in and join me this morning. If you had opportunity to tune in last week, then you're aware that my very, very special guest was Dr. Clayton Ford, National Co-Director of Holy Spirit Renewal Ministries. And Dr. Ford is also the author of a wonderful book titled Called to High Adventure, A Fresh Look at the Holy Spirit and the Spirit-Filled Life. And I'm pleased to share with you this morning that Dr. Ford is with me once again. Good morning, sir, and welcome back.
Good morning, Philip. Great to be with you.
You and I last week, we ran out of time much too quickly, so I thought we would continue our conversation this morning and largely pick up where we left off. Okay with you?
Sounds good.
Clay, for you and I, the whole subject matter of homosexuality is not foreign to us. We have been speaking to and about this particular topic for many years, but heaven knows things have changed greatly in the world and certainly in the Church of Jesus Christ regarding the subject of homosexuality. Today, it really does seem that any challenge offered regarding homosexual practice is often met with accusations of intolerance. And I would submit that there's a huge difference between having a different opinion or point of view versus being hateful, homophobic, or intolerant. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I would totally agree with that. I think you can love people and really care for them and not agree with their point of view. I mean, isn't that what diversity of thought represents? Freedom to think and express ourselves. The problem is when people who claim to be tolerant turn against anybody that disagrees with them and accuse them of intolerance, that's really the pot calling the kettle black. That's kind of, you know, the definition of intolerance is saying, if you don't agree with me, you're intolerant.
Yes.
So, yeah, I agree with you totally. And that seems to shut people down. It's one of those sacred institutions, so to speak, where it's like, you know, love. You know, if you love people, you will agree with this. If you don't agree with this, you're a hater. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same sort of thing.
Yes. Also, I think we need to draw a distinction between acceptance and approval. As Christians, we accept all people. Christians are not called to hate anyone. But while we may accept the person, that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to agree or validate how they are living. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I think it's so clear. I mean, just being in the United States as an American citizen, you've got so many points of view. The only way we could possibly get along as a nation is to be tolerant, to have being tolerant doesn't mean you don't have a point of view. It means that you can accept people and love people and respect people even though they have a different point of view.
Exactly. Yes. Well, personally, I fail to see how I can say that I truly love someone or people while allowing them to compromise in a life of sexual sin unchallenged. I really believe as a faithful follower of Christ Jesus, all of his followers are under command and calling that when we see a brother or sister heading down a path that we believe is only going to lead to a tremendous amount of hurt and heartache, we have the responsibility to go to them and say, you know what, brother, sister, there's a better way, and I'm concerned about you.
Absolutely. If we saw somebody walking out into the street and they didn't see a car coming, it would not be loving to just say, you're fine, and let them get run over. And the same is true when we have people that we love and care about, and they've adopted lifestyles that will put them in spiritual jeopardy and eternal jeopardy of their spiritual destiny. And if we love them, how can you love someone and not warn them of what the consequences of what they're doing?
It's exactly. Yes.
Incompatible with love.
And your point's well taken that so many today, they are completely fixed upon the here and now and dismissing the reality, the fact and truth that there is an eternity before each and every one of us, and we will each spend eternity in one of two places.
That's right. We're warned in Scripture in a number of places. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, Paul lists a catalog of sins, including sexual sins of all varieties, and he says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yes.
So the Scriptures are very clear there and elsewhere that it's not like we're saved by trying to be good and trying to be righteous. It's like it's that because Christ is in our lives and the Holy Spirit's in our lives, we live in a different way. He's given us the resources to live a righteous life. So we have that battle inside ourselves. I think we all understand what temptation means.
Mm-hmm.
But I have the resources and God's promise that he will provide the way of escape. And the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, the last fruit of the Spirit in that list of nine fruits of the Spirit is self-control. By the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, he gives me the freedom to say, no, I will not give in to that temptation. And that's the resource that we have. It's not like we're in this battle by ourselves. You know, it's not just a matter of homosexual, same-sex attractions or heterosexual attractions. We all deal with temptations of different types,
yes,
sexual and otherwise. Does God have resources that can help us to live according to his will?
Yes.
In the Old Testament, there was the law that people had to strive to live by in their own strength. But now through faith in Jesus Christ, we're born again, we're given a new nature, the indwelling Holy Spirit. And so now we have the old sin nature trying to regain ascendancy in our lives. But we also have the new nature, the likeness of Christ, the Holy Spirit. And as we yield ourselves, God will lift us above that temptation.
Yes.
I'm not saying that that's easy. It is a battle, but the battle has been won. Jesus Christ has won the victory, and through the power of his shed blood and the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, we can walk in victory.
Yes, absolutely. Point well taken. As you know, because you and I have known one another now for many, many years, we've partnered together in ministry on numerous occasions. So you're aware that this whole subject matter of homosexuality, I speak to both professionally and personally. And you know what, Clay? I remember, I can recall very, very easily some 31 years ago, surrendering my life to Christ and entering church for the very first time. There were very dedicated Christians that held me to the truth and the authority of Scripture. And to be perfectly frank, sometimes what they were sharing with me was pretty hard to take. But I know that they did it because they had my best interests at heart, because, as we all know as well, the day will arrive in each of our lives when we will stand before God the Father and give an account of our lives. So again, it seems to me that if we truly, truly love the individual, we will not withhold God's word and we will not withhold his truth.
That's absolutely right. I agree with you wholeheartedly. We, you know, people talk about God's grace and the grace that forgives, and all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and his grace means we don't get what we deserve, but what, you know, we don't get judgment because of Jesus Christ, and he took the judgment for us. Mercy and grace are just wonderful gifts from God, but what grace does not mean is that we can rest easy and be assured of God's comfort and affirmation of our sinful lifestyles if we continue in sin. I was thinking about that verse this morning in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. In other words, it's the very grace of God that causes us to not live sinful lifestyles.
Yes, yes, absolutely. You know, I'm recalling also the Gospel of Luke, which says very, very clearly that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And you know, when you realize where you were and where Christ has brought you by his love, mercy, and grace, not the whole world, let me tell you what Jesus has done in my life. And that brings me to a point that I wanted to ask you, because it seems that if we, the church today, if we are not reaching into gay communities and offering an opportunity to choose Christ and change, if they desire to do so, then can we really, really say that we are fulfilling the Great Commission?
That is such an important question, and it's a difficult challenge, because on the one hand, Christian churches are having to stand up with courage against the onslaught of ideological, cultural change that affirms the gay lifestyle. And there's so many political movements and attempts to make Christians out to be bigots and homophobes, and changing the politics, redefining marriage. So on the one hand, Christians need the courage to speak the truth in love about what marriage is, what God has instituted as marriage, and what a godly lifestyle is about, but able to do so in a way that doesn't alienate the entire homosexual community.
Yes.
and look to them as if all Christians hate people who are in that lifestyle. That's the challenge I see. How do we show love for people and at the same time stand up against the onslaught of political maneuvering, and it seems like it's endless.
Yes.
Trying to get laws changed and redefining of terms, and Christians losing their rights whether they will do a wedding or not based on their own conscience of what marriage is. You know, all those kinds of things. Christians need to affirm our religious liberties and stand up, but to do so in a way that loves people. Now,
yes,
to me, that's the challenge of the church. And how do we do this? Some
yes.
have opted with love at any cost. Love is their only hermeneutic. And if someone has been victimized in any way, then their cause is just. And we need to agree with them and agree with their lifestyle, do whatever we have to do to not be unloving.
Yes.
So what we do in a case like that is we make an idolatry out of love that is not a biblical love anymore. Because a biblical love, like you pointed out earlier in the program, how can we say we love people whose lifestyles are sending them to eternal destruction?
Yes, yes.
Anyway, go ahead.
I was going to say, you and I were recently in Green Lake, Wisconsin for the Holy Spirit Renewal Conference, which was a dynamic, powerful week of ministry. And I remember sharing in one of the general sessions that during my 17 years that I lived as a gay-identified man, during those 17 years, I never once had a Christian approach me and say, you know what, Philip, there's a way out of that. Now, I'm offering that once again, not as an indictment on the church, but to illustrate that it would have been nice to have known that I at least had an option. And it just seems to me, with everything that's going on in the world today, which you've detailed for us very eloquently, it just seems to me, at the very least, we need to let people know you do have an option.
Absolutely. You know, I remember back when you and I teamed up at that forum on Christianity and homosexuality at Humboldt State University.
Yes.
I remember it well, that both of us made it very clear that God loves people. He loves homosexuals as well as heterosexuals. With your permission, I put your testimony in the Humboldt State University newspaper. I had a column called Ask the Pastor.
Yes.
And it was, can gays go straight, was the question. There was so much talk about different people finding out they were gay and people coming out. I asked, can it go the other way? Can people who have been homosexual become free of that lifestyle? And your testimony touched a lot of people. You're a very courageous individual, especially in the cultural climate we're in. But I got accused of hate speech to put in something like that. And I said, and I got accused by a professor in the newspaper. And so I responded, what is hateful about saying God loves homosexuals as well as heterosexual? There's nothing hateful about that. That God offers all of us the opportunity to choose him. And well, I remember how you and I both shared our stories.
Yes.
We both had an orientation to sin. I in the heterosexual direction, you in the homosexual direction, and we both humbled ourselves. We said, God, we need your help.
Yes.
And God heard our prayer. So being humble before the Lord and asking him for help, we both got set free. It's not like we don't battle temptation sometimes. It's like we've been forgiven and cleansed and been given a new nature.
Yes.
But at that forum, we were able to share God's love for people. And I there were two outspoken lesbians, self-identified lesbians at that forum. And they were speaking up and asking us very hard questions. And I am so thankful to be able to announce to you that they came to a church meeting with a special speaker weeks later. And the person who was speaking prayed a prayer of deliverance over the entire crowd, that people that were bound in any kind of sin would be set free.
Mm.
And those two women went to church the next Sunday, repented of their lifestyle, gave their hearts to Christ,
wow,
and broke off that lesbian relationship. You know, love has such power, but it's a love that speaks the truth in love.
Yes.
And it's got to be that. God has a way that he wants us to live, and he will help us to live that way. Christians who have compromised the truth of the gospel in the name of love have demonstrated that love has become an idolatry to them, that they have put that hermeneutic of love and grace and all the things that would excuse a sinful lifestyle, be it any kind of sinful lifestyle, that they have made that more important in their theology and their lives than God himself.
Hmm.
And we dare not do that. We misrepresent God. We distort the gospel. We help people be secure in a sinful state, which is the most unloving thing that we could do.
Yes. Thanks so much for sharing what transpired in these two ladies' lives. To God be the glory. Amen.
Amen. And Philip, I just might say, you have such a powerful and important ministry, more so now, I think, than ever that I remember. And when you went to Green Lake, I noticed it too. There was a hunger and thirst for the truth that you could provide, and you could provide it better than anybody I know. Because to come out of that lifestyle and to speak the truth of the Word of God in such a loving way is so compelling. Who can argue with that? Jesus Christ changed your life.
Indeed. And there for me, again, speaking to this whole from personal reality, 31 years ago, I surrendered my life to Christ. And as you know, everything in life changed. So for me, some 31 years later, for me to deny what Jesus has done in my life would be the equivalent of my denying him. And I can't go there. I just can't go there.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you. And I'm the same way. If sexual morality changed in some cases in terms of the heterosexual sins, not as big a deal as it used to be, and you can have choir directors living without the benefit of marriage and living sexually with their partner, and people don't talk about it. That actually happens in some churches. It's like, well, that's their own personal life. My goodness, what apostasy the church is carrying out when we throw out the authority of the scriptures and we misrepresent the Christian life and misrepresent Jesus Christ himself, who loved that woman caught in adultery, but he said, go and sin no more. He said, neither do I condemn you. I give you a new start. Yes. Go and sin no more. And it's so important because I see pastors that I have known and respected and leaders who have God has used to change my life in some radically important ways in years past, and yet they have followed the cultural ideology and the redefinition of marriage and just have gone along with the tide instead of standing true. You know, bottom line, Philip, you and I and all of us will someday face Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I don't want to face him as somebody who betrayed the gospel.
No.
I do not ever want to betray him. I want to be true to him till my dying breath.
Absolutely. You know what, Clay? I still continue to find, with all that's transpired around the world on this given topic, that there are still far too many today, including our fellow Christian brothers and sisters in Christ, that have still bought into and believe the born that way theory. And it has always been a theory, a notion, a personal opinion. And I'm wondering, do you find the same? Because it really is very intriguing to me that among the many pro-gay arguments, the born that way theory, that statement, if you will, in many, many respects remains at the top. But first and foremost, for a born-again believer, a faithful follower of Christ, to say that homosexuals are born that way, for me, first and foremost, that is a contradiction of Scripture.
Well, it's certainly a contradiction of Scripture. I think after the fall, sin permeated the human race, and all forms of sexual and other distortions of God's intent took place. And so the idea we were all born that way in the sense that we were born as sinners because sin has permeated the human race.
Yes.
Someone who's born, a heterosexual sinner could say, I was born that way, and it's too hard for me to stay true to purity. So I need to indulge my sex nature. It's like drinking a glass of water. I get thirsty, so I have to drink.
Yes.
And so it negates the ability for human beings under God to exercise any self-control at all. The man who's married, a woman who's married, can say, well, you know, I still have these sexual desires for other women, husband, you know, and I, Philip, sometimes I find myself preaching a sermon and fighting a battle with lust. I mean, you know, sin nature is not, it's dead positionally in Christ, but the old devil tries to raise up his ugly head, and that sin nature tries to get us and pull us down. But the day that I say, well, it's natural and normal, I might as well give in to it, is the day I have betrayed God, the gospel, the Christian life, the authority of Scripture. And the same would be true even if it were demonstrated that some people were born, and it hasn't been proven. The opposite has been proven to date. As far as I know, all studies have shown there is no genetic cause of this. But even if they found that that was part of it, just like any orientation to sin, that does not excuse yielding to the temptation that I feel.
And you know what else, Clay? I'm also hearing more and more that some of the leading pro-gay activists in the APA, the American Psychiatric Association, have for some time been telling their colleagues and anyone else who will listen, stop using the born that way statement, because everyone knows it isn't true.
I know that it's not true, but yet they want to put that down as one of the pillars of the movement.
Yes.
Which is a dishonesty.
Yes.
And people know that, but they don't want to give it up because it's such a powerful motivational factor. Well, how could we blame them if they're born that way?
Yes.
Again, orientation to sin is common to everybody. The solution to sin is Jesus Christ on the cross for our sins, and the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, and the cleansing blood of Jesus.
Clay, I'm sorry to interrupt you, brother, but we're almost out of time, and I want to give you an opportunity to highlight your book again, because it focuses on living the Spirit-filled life. And that's so important today, because whether we're talking about the brokenness of same-sex attraction or the other various habits, addictions, or compulsive behavior, we're ultimately talking about a spiritual problem that requires a spiritual solution, and His name is the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit is essential in virtually every facet of our Christian walk. You know, you look at the three directions of Christian life and ministry: upward, inward, and outward. Upward, our relationship with God, and prayer and worship. Inward, fellowship, body life, family, and outward, missions, evangelism, service, salt and light in the world. The Holy Spirit's the prime mover in all of those. It's like God the Father wills our salvation. Jesus Christ made it possible through His death and resurrection, and the Holy Spirit activates it. That's why we so desperately need the power of the Holy Spirit. He activates the promises of God, the weapons of our warfare, the armor of God, the power of the name of Jesus, the power of the blood of Jesus. My book is called To High Adventure, A Fresh Look at the Holy Spirit and the Spirit-filled Life. It will give you a balanced and unifying approach, and I have a study guide that goes with it for groups. Yes. People all over the country have used it and been benefiting from it. So you can get in touch with me for copies of that.
And brother, I so greatly appreciate you. And unfortunately, once again, time has flown by. So again, Dr. Ford, thanks so much for joining me. For all our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you'll join us next week, same time, same station. Until then, our Lord richly bless and keep you.
Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. Please join us next Saturday for another His Way Out Ministries broadcast, dedicated to ministering to the body of Christ and the community at large, with the power of testimony, the dialogue of issues, and the truth of Scripture.